Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
And I want to talk about something. We've talked about this before, but it's a really interesting topic. So intimate scenes in theatre and film are not a new thing. We know that. But as an actor, are you just expected to be comfortable kissing or getting your kit off in front of your work colleagues? Well, Darren Kelleher, who owns Actors Vision in Cork, deals with this in his acting courses and recently ran a dedicated intimacy workshop for scenes just like those. And he's on the line now. Darren, good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to have you on. So tell me about this course and why you decided to do it.
Long story short, we always sort of would have a module implemented into our main courses talking about intimacy, and this is going back a good number of years, but I suppose recently some friends of mine who started their own production company asked me if I would do, a public course with the name of intimacy coordinating on it. So I did so for the first time sort of publicly as a standalone course. For those friends of mine who are sort of raising funds to put on their next production. And that's where I suppose, for the first time through Actors Vision, it was visual publicly that this was something we were teaching or talking about within the sort of different programs and courses we were on.
I suppose it's really important now, because now more than ever, I mean, you can't escape it, an intimacy scene, if you're an actor in some shape or form. Is
sure.
that right?
It's right, but it's also, I mean, if we look at real life, intimacy is everywhere. And to be fair to people like Eva O'Brien, who's a very well-known intimacy coordinator in the UK, she would say it. Intimacy isn't just, you know, sexual scenes or nudity. That's a big part of it. But intimacy is anything from if you have two characters playing friends and they hug, or, you know, shaking hands or getting in each other's personal space. That's intimacy. Or if you have an adult actor playing a scene with a child actor, and, you know, their mother and son or daughter, and they have to hug or hold them, that's an intimate act. So intimacy is everywhere in real life, and sex and sexuality and nudity are parts of that as well. And I suppose they're probably the scariest part of it from an actor's point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to explain to people, what does an intimacy coordinator do exactly?
Well, intimacy coordinators are, it's a relatively new department and a relatively new person coming to these film sets and TV sets across the world. So we're sort of learning as we go, and a lot of actors and even directors at an independent level would be maybe unknowing in terms of the fact that there is a person called an intimacy coordinator, and we can hire them and we can bring them in. But their job basically is to figure out what the director is looking for exactly within the intimate scene or scenes, and then try to block it, sculpt the scene, work out a way in which the actors feel comfortable in performing it, and then bringing that back to the director. So that ultimately what we're trying to do, and I think Eva O'Brien says this far better than I do, is we wouldn't go to set and do stunts or fighting scenes without a stunt coordinator. Why have we been for so long going to set, running intimate scenes without an intimacy coordinator and letting the actors figure it out? Because there is an element of safety in both. And if something goes wrong because we didn't bring in a stunt coordinator, well, things could go catastrophically wrong. The same as it can be said about intimacy, because people have different comfort zones, things that they're happy to do and not. And some people have triggers because in their personal lives, we don't know what's happened and what experiences people have had. So it's always important to really sort of lay down before we ever go into the work, what are people's boundaries? And this big word again of consent, you know, making sure we have consent from actors, because in the past it sounds crazy now that we're talking about it, but actors are sort of, they'll read a script and it says, you know, they kiss, they make love or whatever the case may be. And it's that vague. And the actors then are turning up to set. You have anxiety and fear because they don't know what they're going to be asked to do in advance. And then it actually affects the work greatly, because when people know exactly what to do, what's been okayed, what consent is back and forth between the two actors, it actually makes for a much smoother and faster process to get the scene captured. So this is what an intimacy coordinator does ultimately, is helps the director block, sculpt the scene, almost like a piece of choreography, so that on the day, time isn't wasted sort of trying to figure out and letting the actors sort of off on their own to just get at it.
It was a free-for-all years ago,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think back to what was expected of actors to do, like you said, in such a vague description of what they had to do, it must have
sure.
been so nerve-wracking. When did the whole intimacy coordinators thing, when did that kick off? I mean, are we talking in the last 10 years?
It probably could have been that far back, but from to my mind, the first time I ever heard of an intimacy coordinator, and I'm working sort of in the business, you know, at different levels for nearly 30 years, but the first time I heard of an intimacy coordinator was around the time Normal People came out. And I heard of this woman in the UK, Ida O'Brien, who was working on set as an intimacy coordinator, and I started looking into her work. Because for me as an Irish actor, and you probably feel the same, I grew up in a time when nobody really talked about these things. And two things can happen, and there's two problems with that. Firstly, I found as an actor growing up in an Irish society is sometimes directors, because of their own discomfort talking about intimacy, would avoid stuff. So sometimes you might be in a play and there could be a kiss and the director would, you know, cut the kiss out because he'd feel, oh, you know, I'm embarrassed about talking about this, so therefore you are too. And for actors, you know, a kiss is something is sort of at a lighter level of intimacy, I guess. It's something we'd expect in our work. So you'd have one side where intimacy was being avoided because of the director's discomfort. And then on the other side, you'd have, because of the director's discomfort, an avoidance of talking about intimacy, and it was just slapped into the script and you were to figure it out. And worse still, sometimes actors were told, go into a room by yourself and talk about it and figure it out. And then you're sort of in that weird position of trying to suggest things back and forth and trying to figure out, is the other person comfortable or not? And it just made for a very sort of anxious or fearful situation. And then actors coming to a set or coming to stage and not really knowing what they're meant to be doing. And it's embarrassing as well from a point of view when you've got a crew there looking at you for the first time and you're figuring out, how are we doing this scene? Or suddenly you're asked to, you know, well, actually, I pictured this as a nude scene, and you're like, well, I never knew that. So there's just a lot, because of the ambiguity and the vagueness in the past, it's actually caused more problems. And I think nowadays a lot of directors are sort of not a lot of directors, but particularly at an independent level, new directors who are in training are wary of the idea of an intimacy coordinator because they fear it's going to reduce the quality of the work, or that an intimacy coordinator is there to soften things or dull things down, and it's the opposite. Because an intimacy coordinator is trying to figure out from you as the director, what do you want? And then trying to get that for you in the simplest, easiest, most effective way possible by communicating clearly with the actors from the get-go.
Yeah. Would you say nowadays there would be an intimacy coordinator on most film sets, on all film sets, half film sets? Where are we at?
I think it's down to a budget consideration.
Yeah.
I find most high-end productions, you know, at a level where there's a producer, a casting director attached, when they have that sort of budget, particularly in TV and film, at that higher end, because producers don't want risks. Producers don't want to have a situation where something that they've you know, put a lot of time and investment into goes, you know, gets put on hold, doesn't get broadcast because something happened on set. So for a producer, it's a little bit of a no-brainer. They feel comfortable with the idea of an intimacy coordinator. It protects the actors. It protects the production. It makes sure that the work is done correctly. But the problem really I find is at, I suppose, more local level, a more independent film level, where there isn't necessarily a budget to bring in an intimacy coordinator. And that sort of then in turn creates a situation where sometimes even independent directors aren't aware of the fact that this is a thing. This is a possibility. And I think that's the problem, and that's where a lot of issues can arise for actors first starting out. When they're working in a local sort of independent level, the old problems are still there.
So what advice would you have for those actors out there who are on their journey and who aren't going in to walk it into that Hollywood movie or sure. a movie with a budget and there is an intimacy scene? What would you say to them?
I think firstly and foremost, the actors need absolutely to educate themselves on what good intimacy coordinating is and what they sort of should expect on a set in terms of, you know, protecting themselves and protecting their fellow actors within a scene. So if actors, even at a basic level starting out in the business, start to train themselves and understand what intimacy coordinating is about and how it works, what we can do and what we should be doing anyway as actors is helping first-time directors, new directors understand what we need in all aspects of our performance, and intimacy coordinating be one of them. And so if you come to a set and you have a director who isn't aware of intimacy coordinating, you can sit down with them and say, look, I noticed in the script, there's this scene, there's that scene. I'd like to have a conversation with you about that, about how we normally do that and how I need to sort of approach it and what I'd like. And therefore, you're sort of educating new directors on the fact that this is necessary and explaining to them and showing them, you know, how it works in terms of it actually makes everything more efficient and makes everything flow better and faster. Because again, at independent level, we're trying to do, you know, 10 scenes a day because we don't have the budgets. Well, then you want your intimate work to be well planned, well rehearsed, so that when you get to the set, there's no vagueness, there's no, and again, you don't want an actor suddenly being sort of having something sprung on them that they didn't expect, and then the whole set slows down or stops because you didn't inform them. So it works in everyone's favour, and I think every actor starting out needs to educate themselves. And there's great resources. Intimacyforstageandscreen.com is a collection of intimacy coordinators in the UK who've drawn up guidelines. Intimacy on Set, Ita O'Brien's company similarly has guidelines online. So you can do this even in your own time, free of charge. Look these things up, look at the rules, look at the regulations coming in as well, your legal protections as an actor, so that you're informed at all times and you can sort of bring that to the independent level and look for it at the higher level within the industry.
You held your first dedicated intimacy workshop in May. Tell us, did you have a big turnout? How did it go? Was it successful?
Yeah, it was for me. We had a nice, I think we had about 14 people at the session. Right. And again, it's very interesting to see, I suppose, the curiosity. Some people come to the intimacy workshops, and like a lot of workshops, we'd invite people to participate in small exercises. But with intimacy coordinating, what we do is in advance, we'll sort of ask actors attending, you know, are you comfortable maybe performing a little exercise, a scene that might have a kiss or touch? Do you want to perform a scene potentially that just has, a light bit of touching or hugging? Or do you just want to observe? So again, giving the actors that sort of option before they ever attend to quietly and privately let you know what they're comfortable with. So we had that and we ran some exercises and we had a good chat. And we always start intimacy work with a conversation because I think I know it, I suppose, from an Irish point of view. We have certain, you know, histories within this country and attitudes towards sex and sexuality. And I think there's still some of that residual, those hang-ups, the idea that certain type of activity is to be
dirty.
Frowned upon. Exactly.
And that
I think we're changing, but it's slow. And I think firstly and foremostly, within intimate work, every actor must have a conversation with themselves about what their boundaries are, what they're comfortable with, and self-assessing, you know, why do I feel this way? Or, you know, what are the obstacles to me working within intimate work? Because sometimes the obstacles are the people. Sometimes you find actors don't want to engage in intimate work because they're afraid of what society or their friends and family will think. And there's no two ways about it. It's different, obviously, for women as it is for men, because women feel the pressure more that if I do that type of work, sometimes in society or sometimes within our social networks and family networks, people will judge us. People will look at us, you know, and think, as you said, that's dirty or it's embarrassing or, you know, that's sort of shameful that you would do that on screen or on stage. And that's for me, harking back to our history within this country and our history with attitude towards sex and sexuality.
If people want to find out more, where can they, do you have a website people can go and check out, Darren?
Well, for us and our courses, it's just actorsvision.com.
Okay.
But for resources for intimacy, specifically intimacy coordinating and guidelines, there's a great website, intimacyforstageandscreen.com, and they have wonderful guidelines that you can download for stage and for film and TV. And that was put together by two ladies, Lizzie Talbot and Rachel Vogler. And then there's Ita O'Brien's intimacyonset.com, I think, is the website. And again, she has the guidelines up there for everybody to read and sort of consume for themselves. And that's the thing, is to start getting informed of how it should be done and looking for that at the higher end of the business, which seems to be the standard now. And in the independent level, starting to educate your directors, you know, by sitting them down and explaining what you need before you go into intimate work. And then all going all the way back, of course, to self-assessing at the very beginning. We're all different people. We're different people as actors. We have different comfort zones. And I think it's important to know what your comfort zones are at all times so that you're not allowing yourself to be pushed into doing things that you're not comfortable with. And to be, you know, again, to be clear with yourself on saying no. If something's being asked of you and you're not comfortable, you know, doing it, just say no.
Yeah.
That's not
good
for
advice.
Me.
Good advice. Darren Kelleher, a pleasure to talk to you this morning. Thank you so much for coming on
Thanks,
the show.
Jennifer.
Bye, Darren. Cheers.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.